But for us as believers, Thanksgiving is a lot more than a one-day holiday. Thanksgiving is really to be our perpetual state of mind towards our Heavenly Father. I think in our country that some of the things that are reflected in the first Thanksgiving are reflected in George Washington's proclamation. You know, in this country, a lot of that's been lost. Thanksgiving has become a day of, you know, football and pumpkin pie and turkeys and all of that. But really for us, Thanksgiving is, it's an integral part of just being a believer. It stems from God's grace. In fact, the word thanks in the Greek is the same word as the word thanks. It's, you know, God's grace, God's unmerited divine favor towards us has resulted in us just having so much to be thankful for. It's interesting. There's a number of other words in the Greek that are tied to grace. Another one is forgiveness. And another one is the word that's translated sharing or abundant sharing. Because when you think of it, everything good originates from God. And in light of all of that, we should be very quick to forgive one another. We've been forgiven. We should be thankful and return to God. And also that's a big part of how we handle our finances and sharing with Him out of gratitude for His gracious giving us so much. So it's a very interesting, rich word, the word charis. And Thanksgiving extends throughout the whole Bible. I mean, we read the 100th Psalm, or we sang the 100th Psalm earlier. But just the whole book of Psalms is just filled with Thanksgiving. And there's just so many other places in the Word where it talks about Thanksgiving and thankfulness. The great thing about the new birth is that it gives us another way to thank God, and that's by speaking in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that when you speak in tongues, you give thanks well. And that's the only place in the Bible where it talks about giving thanks well, adding the word well. In other words, it's, you know, how God desires to be thanked is by speaking in tongues. So we can, you know, we can give thanks with our heart, with our mind, with our mouths, but we can also give thanks with the Spirit and thank God perfectly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is a great section of Scripture starting in verse 16, it says, rejoice for how long?
Evermore.
Evermore. Pray without what?
Ceasing.
And then it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What powerful, simple verses. And verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. Because there's many things that we encounter in life that we're not thankful for. I mean, there's a lot of junk. But this also instructs us that it's the will of God for us to give thanks in everything. So it's available to be thankful all the time. At the beginning of the church epistles, starting in Romans 1, but the first 2.5 chapters of the book of Romans give a description of sort of the rotten fruit of human nature. And it really, calls in question or sort of exposes the difficulties, the defect nature of humanity. The need for a Savior really is what's brought to light at the beginning of Romans. And one of the things that is called out is in describing the rotten fruit of human nature is it says that neither were they thankful. Human nature is not programmed necessarily to be thankful. And really, when you see people around you every day, there's a lot of people that just aren't thankful, or if they're thankful, it's, just circumstance-based. But this verse tells us that in everything, we can be thankful. And it's the will of God for us to be thankful. Now, that attitude of gratitude has to be cultivated in the renewed mind, and it's definitely, you know, a skill to learn. It's something to practice. I don't know if you've ever done this, but a few times in my life, I've just sat down and written out a thankful list, things that I'm thankful for. If I was going to write that list today, you guys would be on it, because I'm thankful for you, you know, my family. But there's just so much that we can bring to mind to be thankful for. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians. Yeah, all throughout the church epistles, there's a lot about this topic. We're going to start in verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye," what?
Thankful.
You know, just like it said in Thessalonians, be thankful is in the imperative, which, you know, is technical jargon for, it's a command. It's imperative that you be thankful. It's a commandment. Now, I know when people think of commandments, they usually think to the Big Ten commandments, and that's largely governed by things thou shall not, right? But this is something, it's in the category of thou shall be thankful. Be thankful. And it, once again, it's just something that's available to be all the time. And then it goes on to say in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what?
Thanks
to God and the Father by him. So once again, the command, the imperative, is to be thankful. Look at Philippians, back a book, Philippians chapter, a couple books, Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. That's a great verse for children, isn't it? No, but yeah, but back at the time of this translation, it really was like full of care. You know, in other words, full of care is like, and it's probably best translated now, anxious, or be anxious for nothing. Or a good modern translation would be stressed for nothing. But in everything, and there's those words again, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of getting all stressed, getting all anxious, pray. And this verse is really kind of a hinge of like a trade. I like to think of these next few verses as being like a trade, because where it starts with is anxiety or cares, and then by prayer with thanksgiving, look what results. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So verses 6 and 7 are talking about a trade of anxiety or cares, stress, for peace. And the way to do it is to pray with thanksgiving. Now, that's a good trade. That's a very good trade. And how about, let's read 1 Corinthians 14 for a second. I made mention of this earlier, but this is the overall context of 1 Corinthians 14 is the edification of the church. and that it's God's will that when the church gets together, that everybody be bettered by it, everybody be built up by the church getting together. Now, this was particularly reproving to the believers at Corinth, because when they were getting together, they were doing a bunch of other stuff that was not edifying. It was, that's described in this epistle as being corrupting or tearing down. Like getting drunk at communion and, you know, having sex as fellowship and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's like he's being reproved pretty sternly. But here, in this particular chapter, it's talking about what to do when you get together in the church so that everybody's built up. And it centers around three of the manifestations: speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what?
Prophecy.
Because that's God's means of building us all up when we get together. And so what they were doing was they were indecent, out of order. Everybody was all speaking in tongues at the same time, kind of like Pentecostals do today. And they weren't giving the needed interpretation so that everybody would be built up. And so that reproof, you can start reading in verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, let him that speak in a tongue pray that he may," what?
"Interpret.
And if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Two ways to pray, two ways to sing. "Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit," the word "bless" could be translated "praise God." "Else when thou shalt bless or praise God with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest?" See, it's a good question. And really what the point is that speaking in tongues by itself is for your private prayer life. It's not for doing in the congregation, because throughout this chapter, there's three different places where it said that if a person speaks in tongues out loud in the church, they're obligated to do what?
Interpret.
It says, and then verse 17, "For thou verily givest thanks well," there it is, "but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." So speaking in tongues is terrific. It's the only thing described in the Bible of giving thanks well, the only means of giving thanks well. But within the church, it's very important that everybody be edified. And we should be edified by the teaching of the word, by the manifestations, certainly by the fellowship of like-minded believers. So to conclude, let's go to Psalm 103. You know, the book of Psalms is so wonderful. You can just read through it, and it's like, I don't know, words from the heart. You know, words from God's heart to us, certainly. But it was also, most of the Psalms are written down by King David, who is the only one in the Bible described as a man after God's own heart. And so a lot of the Psalms are very heartfelt, and they kind of minister to our hearts when we, you know, read them and take them to heart. But Psalm 103 is a real terrific psalm. And it says, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his," what?
Benefits.
Well, it's wonderful that this doesn't say that we're supposed to remember them all, because that would certainly be impossible. But we certainly can remember, some of his benefits.
Sure.
And we can also grow in learning about more and more benefits as we mature in the Word. So forget not all his benefits. And then here are some listed. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are just some of his benefits. And, you know, it's just wonderful to continue to develop an attitude of gratitude by being thankful and not forgetting God's benefits. So it's a wonderful blessing. We are certainly children of his grace, and we enjoy the great benefits of his divine favor that certainly none of us deserve. So Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be together and celebrate this great American tradition of Thanksgiving. And Father, to celebrate it with you, and our thankfulness is directed towards you, Father, for all that you've done for us through Christ Jesus. So Father, may these days be wonderful for each of us with family and friends, and may we just enjoy the great life, the more abundant life that Jesus Christ has purchased on our behalf. So, Father, we praise you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless you.
Say goodbye. Love you, Fred. Love you guys.